Today we've got a little bit of a different podcast. We're talking to four different folks associated with China lacrosse and Hong Kong lacrosse on the eve of the beginning of China lacrosse's Sixes series, which is essentially spring season that's about to get underway and focused on the university and adult lacrosse players playing a six-week spring competition of Sixes lacrosse. We talked to Brendan Mullen, who has held multiple coaching positions both at Central China Normal University as well as other clubs and the China Lacrosse Association development platform. In addition to that, we talked to Arnold Choi, who previously was with the HKLA, Hong Kong Lacrosse Association, and is now working as an events manager for China Lacrosse as well as the Shenzhen Lacrosse Company. In addition to that, we talked to Chad Fairfell, the head coach of the Hong Kong men's lacrosse representative team, and Jennifer Marisu, the women's lacrosse coach of the Hong Kong women's representative team, which is looking to compete in the next World Cup. The conversation starts by talking about the individual merits of the Sixes format, what has led to Hong Kong and China both adopting Sixes competitions, as well as then transitioning into a status update for both associations in China and in Hong Kong as they've dealt with the fallout of the pandemic shutdown, the inability to travel for competition, as well as what that has meant for their increased recruiting over the course of the last year, with players wanting to just find any source of outlet for competition. This is a little bit of an unusual podcast in the sense that not only were we separated by 12 hours and recording in the morning in the Eastern time and in the evening, Hong Kong and Beijing time, but also Coach Jen was just leaving practice, so she was part of a carpool situation, and there were a handful of other not ideal audio circumstances. So at times it's a little bit choppy, but the reason I wanted to post it as a podcast is not only because of the timeliness and newsworthiness, but also because it's a really organic conversation that I think shines a bright spotlight, not just on world lacrosse and its development internationally, not just in Asia, where certainly there is a huge and really high ceiling to be attained as the sport grows its international profile, but really the way in which the HKLA and China lacrosse represent a little bit of a model for how lacrosse can enter emerging markets, not just in terms of how important it is to happen, but also in terms of how it can be executed. So hope you'll forgive some of those audio issues and enjoy the conversation, which really sheds a lot of light on how so many folks are working to develop the sport all across the world.
So the Sixes event, what we're calling it, the Sixes series, and it's basically, it's a league, right? So it's a national league in mainland China. Hong Kong is not participating in this league, though we hope they will in the future once the quarantine restrictions are lifted. And so basically it's going to run for 6 weeks. It's adult men and women. There's 8 men's teams and 5 women's teams. We're hosting games in six different cities, and it's not necessarily that each team goes to every city for each game. It's not like an event-driven model. We just tried to do the schedule, actually, so that we limited travel for as many teams as possible in order to increase participation. So, for example, most of our teams in the league are based in East China, so there's more games in Shanghai than there would be in Shenzhen, for instance. And yeah, so we'll have regular season games over the course of 6 weeks. We'll keep stats, we'll keep standings. And then on May 1st and 2nd, we'll have a playoff round back in Shanghai. So the top 4 teams from the men's and women's division will make the playoffs. Semifinals will be on Saturday and the finals will be on Sunday. And then we'll crown the winner, basically. And I guess how it came about is, so World Lacrosse has been talking about Sixes for a long time now, and the rules have been in the works for a while. And I guess, you know, the most recent version of the Sixes rules finally got approved at the last General Assembly in November. So we felt it would be important on our end to kind of help, you know, promote World Lacrosse's Olympic vision, because we obviously all want that to happen. And then secondly, we feel that the Sixes discipline will be very important for lacrosse growth in mainland China. where a lot of teams here can't necessarily field a full 20-person roster for a 10 versus 10 match. So we thought this discipline made sense. We wanted to kind of do something with it. And then through this, we want to promote it pretty heavily in order to just generally grow lacrosse participation in China.
The other thing is I think in China, as Brandon said, it's more easier for the college team, for the university team to add more team to join the course, right? Because right before the regular game is 11 aside, but right now it's 10 aside, but right now it's only 6 aside, so it's going to have more people to try to first grab the stick, try the new game.
So that was the second question that I wanted to ask, which is about both recruiting players, but then also the ability to, so if you were able, for example, to field a 10-player side with a 20-person roster, you could essentially divide that team into at least two and potentially three teams, and then you have more competition, and that competition just obviously breeds a lot more in terms of interest and excitement. Have you seen that? Is that kind of the way that, you know, you've been able to, for instance, put together eight teams in the sixes event?
Yes and no. So I would say for now, for the most part, the teams that we have in the sixes don't quite have like full 20-person rosters that were trending that way. But in you're correct in a sense in that that is our long-term vision, because what we would like in the long run is for this, if we try to make this sixes league a recurring thing, is to have it so that there's more than one team in each city in order to minimize travel and make this league more realistic. Like, for example, we have a team from Chengdu playing in the league, right? And they're the only team in Chengdu. There's no one else in Chengdu. So every time they want to play, they either have to travel or someone has to, Chengdu plays like regionally for 3, 4, 5, however many regular season games. And then we just take the championship from each region into the playoffs. So I think what you said is correct in that as we grow, maybe some of these larger programs can say, okay, for the next sixes iteration, let's split into two different groups. And then maybe have one team from another school and we could play locally before we do anything in terms of national playoffs.
Jen, this next question is probably for you since you're literally coming off of a field. But, you know, one of the other elements of the value of sixes competition, in addition to it being more scalable for the reasons that we just discussed, is that it's more fast-paced and hopefully more fun. Are you seeing that?
Yeah, for our players too. I mean, it's definitely faster pace on the field and with the ball in the air. I mean, you have to like constantly make passes all over the place. But the really cool thing is that for us, it was obviously devastation when we our World Cup got pushed. So when the World Cup got postponed for us, it was something to kind of look forward to, and we wanted to try to sit there and trial something that would not only, you know, so we can split into two smaller teams like you had said, but we could also sit there and make sure that it would be something that benefits in our tens game. So like it helps us, or kind of killing two birds with one stone here, is that it will make us push our bodies and our speed of the ball faster.
Got it. Understood. Chad, I'd like to hear from you. Do you have anything that you feel like is particularly interesting or compelling when it comes to the Sixes series?
Yeah, so just to touch on the fact that we actually, Hong Kong and China Lacrosse are two separate associations. We have our own Sixes event that was supposed to be happening on April 2nd to 4th. And it was going to be a tournament style. We had 10 men's teams, 4 in Division 1, 6 in Division 2. So the women's had 8 teams as well, all made up from Hong Kong-based players.
Okay.
And so our goal for that was exactly what Jen was saying before. We need to play games. We need competition. And it was easier for us to run a sixes event exactly the way Brendan was saying. We wanted to promote the Olympic concept, right, and start with this event. Unfortunately, the venue that we had a little bit of a spike. So they shut the venue down. So we're in the process of right now trying to find another venue to host this event over the weekend. So that event in itself, and we've actually done a couple of other games. My men's representative team played the women's representative team in a sixes event just the other night. And both the coach CJ and I both came away from that saying that any advantage you think the men would have over the women was actually negated by the style of play.
Right.
The women were able to run just as fast, move the ball just as fast as the men. And so it really evened out the play. And I think both the games were within a couple of goals.
Yeah, it was really cool to have both teams play each other and to kind of come away from that. And I believe that, like what Chad said on the field too that night was, you know, to really see the Sixes' roles and to see how close World Lacrosse's objective was to make them, you know, both similar styles of both the men's and women's. It was really cool to see that it really did bring the two games together so closely.
That jives with something that I've been talking a fair amount about, just in terms of like kind of the notion of player development and team development. And Jamie Monroe, who is the former coach at Denver, and you guys might know from social media, is a huge proponent of the free play concept. And I don't think he realized until we had a recent conversation how much so many of his principles are manifest in sixes relative to any other type of field lacrosse. But he is a huge advocate. What he asks his clients, the folks that he works in a remote coaching capacity with, to do is essentially play backyard lacrosse with any number of players, but the same way you would play half court basketball, where it's just take it back to the, you know, 3-point line or whatever and start the next possession. And he recently advocated for the point that playing co-ed teams actually aids in both the men's and women's player development more than playing single gender, which I think is, it's not unforeseen. It was absolutely something that was discussed, but it's another interesting element of, you know, the way in which this new discipline that's being advocated for has opportunity for growth, scale, and more fun and a greater social component than any type of traditional format. So kind of sounds like you guys are all evangelists for it. Are there any downsides? Is there anything about it that you don't like or would change? Because it's still in a trial phase.
Honestly, I think that we've played the Sixes rules, I mean, for a couple weeks now. And I think that the one feedback that we have is that for our lower level players, we wish that they would have adapted to the original 45 second shot clock. While our rep team players here usually don't have as much of an issue. And in fact, I think that they like a little push for the 30 second shot clock. But the 45 second shot clock, I think with lower level players probably would have been more helpful.
Is there anything from an administrative standpoint, such as like having a shot clock itself, is that too difficult that it's a problem? Or is it like, you know, somebody, we just have to have one person who has a stopwatch and they shout out how much time is left on the shot clock?
We're using an app that Chad showed me.
Got it.
It's Canadian, so we have shot clocks everywhere, but exactly every once in a while you gotta find an app to. But going back to what Jamie was saying and what you were talking about, Jamie, when I was a little kid growing up in Canada, we would all go to the park and play lacrosse all summer,
right?
10, 11, 12 years old. So that free play, I think, was one of the, and the same thing, there was girls that played with us. There was guys that played with us. And I think we noticed the other night, Jen, that the girls used more speed. The guys tried to use more stick skills. But the problem was the girls were pressuring the guys more than they were used to because they had more speed. So you're exactly right. There was a development on both ends of the spectrum. I think it was really interesting to see. But personally, I haven't found anything that I don't like about it yet.
Got it.
And we've been going for about a month doing this.
And I think that I'm in the car with my rep team and they would like to know that everybody would like 45 seconds for the shot clock, not just my weaker players. Yeah.
Got it.
But the guys are used to it from box. Brendan might have a different take though, because I don't think a lot of your guys are playing box yet.
Yeah, we have less of a box background here in China. But no, I would agree with everything that Jen and Chad said. I think that the shot clock is challenging for a lot of our players, especially because China, we're still developing from a lacrosse standpoint. So maybe, you know, we have some players who are newer to the game and are still kind of focusing on the fundamentals and kind of, you know, the passing and catching aspect isn't as automatic to them. So the shot clock is definitely a challenge. I don't think it's been a major hindrance to our sixes competitions. You know, like you said, we basically do it where we have someone on the sidelines just timing it. I actually think we've, maybe because the game is just moving so fast and people get in that mindset, we've actually had shockingly few shot clock violations in some of our trials leading up to this Sixes series. But with that said, I think some of our players struggle with it definitely, because 30 seconds can be pretty fast.
You know, mentioning the idea of recruitment, what is the typical age range and where the players are coming from? Brennan, when you and I spoke last year, you talked about it being very university-based. Is that still the case, or is it, you know, branching a little younger, or sticking with players as they move on from college?
Yeah, no, you got that right, basically. I would say the core of the Sixes series, if we had to do a demographic profile, it's probably like 60 to 70% current university students. And then the remainder, I would say, are people who have gone through some of the university teams in China and are now adults, but still kind of playing on a local club team. One of the interesting things actually this year for us is, because of the COVID situation, there have been a fair amount of Chinese players who studied abroad in Canada or America or England, as, you know, either in high school or in university, who, because of COVID, have now been back in China for the past year. So these are people who, you know, have kind of been peripherally involved in China lacrosse, but haven't always been in country, who have now been able to participate in a lot of our events. So I think that's been good, because maybe those guys have seen some international lacrosse a bit more than some of our local players and can bring a bit more experience to the league.
But like I said, I really wanted to kind of expand beyond talking specifically about Sixes conceptually, as well as the event series in particular, and talk about the association-wide development, realizing that that for sure is probably a big part of where the focus has been. So, you know, Brennan, I guess back to you, how would you characterize kind of the development of China lacrosse?
Again, the big lift for the spring for us is this Sixes series. So that's where we're putting a lot of emphasis. I think one interesting thing is, like we've spoken about before, the university piece is pretty key for us and something that we're focusing on pretty heavily. And so after the Sixes series concludes, so later in May, we're holding our national university championship. So a lot of those players are participating in Sixes anyways, but that's by no means like an exclusive group. It's maybe some of the players who have a year or two of experience. So we're hoping to use Sixes and kind of the marketing push around it, and maybe Arnold could speak more to that, as a way to kind of even further promote this lacrosse, first of all, and second, the university championship in May, because that's another big recruiting event for us.
Because the university championship, Spendon say, is the next step after our Sixes tournament, right? So it's going to be gathering all the university teams from across China. It's the first time that we actually invite the others university team outside of Shanghai, because we want to use this chance of the Sixes to be as a showcase for those players who come from who are not coming from Shanghai, to see the levels of the other players in China. So that's what we would like to do in for the Sixes.
Are you relying mostly on social media to spread video, photos, and any other type of testimonial to try to, because I understand that you have two challenges. The first is help players who are currently playing improve, and the second is bring new players who aren't currently playing to the game. Are there any other methods besides, I would assume, social media and word of mouth that you're using to try to accomplish both those?
We will try to, you know, lacrosse is a very new sport in China as well. So we would like to do some, for example, some fun day during our final day of the Sixes, which will happen in Shanghai. So we would like to invite the neighborhood leader, the final day value, to come to try lacrosse, as well as we were inviting the school that we already have some programs in Shanghai. For example, like Yuling, which is one of the international school, to come to our field to see how the top player play their game, and also to try lacrosse for the first time in their life.
And then one element of that, I think that's really valuable, is for folks outside of China to see lacrosse being played in China. And I think that World Lacrosse, it would be very interested in that. Is that part of this as well, in terms of, you know, making sure that the content that's created, the photos, video, and everything else, gets shared with other lacrosse places like Inside Lacrosse in order to increase awareness that this is actually happening?
Yeah, that's one of the purpose as well. We already did some PE promotion with World Lacrosse as well, to leading up to the first day of the tournaments. And then for every event update and the things after, we will share with World Lacrosse to make sure the things happen in China Lacrosse to spread it to the international stage.
Yeah, and I would just add to that, in terms of our kind of marketing and PR efforts, in terms of the nitty gritty, like, we have kind of two marketing channels, right? We have our domestic social media and our foreign social media, which are pretty different, right? Because no one in China is really using the Western social media platforms. So in terms of like the nitty gritty of our marketing push, like, you know, what is lacrosse, dates, times, like things like that, most of that's been kind of flowing pretty consistently on our domestic platforms. Whereas on the international platforms, I think we want to focus more on just kind of showing the league, sharing highlight clips, sharing stats, just more like high level stuff in terms of, instead of like, because the goal there is not to recruit new players, it's just to show, hey, here's the lacrosse being played.
Is there any, and I know that this is almost an impossible question, but is there anything that you expect the rest of the world to see and subsequently be surprised by? I guess my question is, like, if you were putting yourself in the mind of a Western consumer and they see this piece of content, is there anything that, like, has the potential to go viral?
Ooh, that's a good question.
And I know, believe me, I live in this world and I know that, like, the most unexpected thing is the thing that subsequently gets, like, captures the imagination of people. So, like, but having already seen it, right, like, being boots on the ground, you might have an eye, like, you know, there's this one particular individual or there's one particular, you know, kind of thing in the background or something like that, that I think people are going to really gravitate toward.
Yeah, I mean, I imagine Jen and Chad would echo this sentiment, but I would just say that, you know, there's a fairly high level of lacrosse here. And, you know, if you're kind of from Canada, America, wherever, you don't necessarily even think of that. And then sometimes you'll see clips chopped up from, like, the Hong Kong Open in the past, for instance, and there's, you know, quite high level lacrosse. And I think people, as they see some of these highlight tapes, they'll see some proper highlights out of it and maybe be surprised by that. In terms of specific highlight reel plays, I guess everyone will have to stay tuned.
Exactly. One last question on China, which is that obviously the conversation to this point has been primarily focused on, you know, players aged 18 and up. Is there any, you know, kind of potential opportunity or thought toward trying to develop players or give players an opportunity age, say, 12 to 17?
Yeah, so I guess our focus is, when we say we focus on the kind of adult level, that's more so to get players ready for our national team programs.
Yep.
There has been, I would say, over the past 2 years, fairly significant growth here at the youth level, call it even U12 and then the 12 to 17 level. One of the challenges there is that it's very difficult to get lacrosse into the public school curriculum here. So the channels that we've been targeting are private schools, as well as kind of after school sports companies, if you will, like clubs.
Yeah.
And a lot of these, like, sports clubs won't necessarily have lacrosse, but, you know, that's part of our job, right? Is to go to them, kind of show them the benefits of adding lacrosse to their curriculum, doing a demo day, getting the parents interested, whatever it might be. But Arnold, I don't know if you have anything to add. I think the youth side has actually grown fairly significantly, and we're planning a youth championship as well for the fall, so that won't be for a while, but U12 definitely is an area where we've seen pretty good growth the past year.
Yeah, for the upcoming nationwide youth tournament, it will be happening on October, as I remember. There will be the second time that we host it. Last time we have invited the Hong Kong teams to come as well. We hope that this year we can do it as well again.
Excellent. All right, so for Chad and Jen, you know, just similar line of thought with respect to what has been going on in Hong Kong over the last year or year plus, and then, you know, kind of fitting into the overall development arc. So Jen, you mentioned losing the opportunity to play in the international competitions was a short-term sting. How has the player pool and the organization rebounded in terms of, like you said, finding a new focus?
Yeah, I think that for our women, because we haven't traveled since November of 2019. So for us in Hong Kong, and it kind of goes off of like what Brendan was saying, was what we wish for the world to know is that there's a high level of lacrosse here in Asia that they can come experience. And since we've lost a lot of our international competition, what we're trying to do is bring up competition within. And that's what kind of stemmed our Sixes event. That is what kind of stemmed any sort of competition that we're just looking for here. And our women are just really hungry to try to get competition. We have leagues that are just starting up, and within the last year, you know, being shut down and with travel and even within has been tough.
I think that the attempt to try to understand how each local market has affected or reacted to, you know, even within the United States, if you were to ask how's lacrosse in your community developed over the course of the year, you're going to get a much different answer from a rec league in California versus one in Massachusetts versus one in Florida. So I think there's value in just kind of having like particular understandings. Chad, you mentioned the challenges with venues, and that's one of the things that I think is broad-based and shared, you know, certainly in like densely populated metro areas. And one of the things that I would hope, and I don't know how realistic this is, but I would hope that Sixes, you know, helps to create it, you know, essentially the ability to turn a soccer field into two lacrosse fields seems really valuable. Is there anything that you would add in terms of kind of how the last year has unfolded that is really informative for the state of Hong Kong lacrosse?
When I first got here a year ago, I've been here for a year and we haven't been able to travel anywhere.
Yeah.
And the two biggest problems that we have are venue space in Hong Kong, because there just isn't any.
Yep.
And so we struggle just to find fields. So I can't practice 3 days a week or 4 days a week with my guys. I just can't do it. We can't get the fields. But the second thing is getting legitimate competition. We can't even travel up to play Brendan. Like, we can't even go to China. We can't go to Taiwan. We can't to get any sort of competition. So guys are so hungry for any sort of competition right now that our numbers have actually gone up. Players are coming back and saying, like, I just want to play. I don't care where, I just want to play.
Yeah.
And so they're coming out, you know, like I said, we ended up with 120 players that showed up for the Sixes event to put on teams. And when we look at our, you know, our men's rep team has, we carry like 38 players.
Yeah.
So, you know, like guys are just coming out of the woodwork saying, yeah, I want to play. I want to play. Great. But as far as development goes, so our numbers are up because players want to play, but our problem is sustaining those numbers.
Yeah.
Because if we don't get competition soon, they're going to start going, I'm going to go golfing. I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to do something else. So that's the toughest part that I find, is that just not having competition. As far as the youth development goes, those numbers have actually gone up as well. And now we have a group of coaches here that do all the youth development, and they've done a really good job getting into primary schools, getting into secondary schools, and creating teams in those schools, and then hosting, you know, a championship. Unfortunately, unable to do that this year, but they're still, you know, those numbers are still staying steady, even though they haven't been able to play. So we're hoping that they'll actually start to go up once they start getting to play again.
Are you hopeful that there will be opportunities to play, meaningful opportunities to play before the end of the year?
Actually, yes. I think in the last quarter of this year, we're probably going to get an opportunity either to come up to China or Taiwan, or even do like a sort of a three group, all three of us getting together somewhere. I think it might be a long shot, but we've all got our fingers crossed for it. Yeah.
And then Jen, for you guys with the rescheduled international competitions, there's clearly a very visible brass ring and continued drive, right? Like a motivating factor. What's that been like in terms of being able to keep people showing up and invested?
I think for our women's representative team, it's incredible what these guys have gone through. You know, we had a few players who resigned from their jobs or took leave of absence from their jobs to prepare for this world event. And some of them have since had to go back to their employer and say, you know, look, things have changed. And then they had to kind of realign, like, you know, redo their schedule and try to plan around it. So I think that the resilience there from the players is amazing, and it just shows that, you know, when it gets to the World Champ event, like, it's so much bigger than anything that you can ever imagine, and the honor and pride there is incredible. I think that they're probably going to end up going through something similar for the 2022 event, where I'll probably get players who again dedicate, you know, every hour of their day towards it. I feel very lucky. I haven't had to push this team a lot to stay dedicated, but I think the competition, you know, getting them prepared for it, like, we train all the time. Practices is one thing. It's playing the games that is like a whole nother, you know, mental aspect of the game that they get. And I think that that is like something that we wish we could achieve. And like Chad said, we're hoping some sort of Asian bubble pops up, and we can end up playing somebody else. Like, we don't even care about the level. Like, we played our HPP team, which is our B team here tonight. And it was just like, whatever we can get our hands on.
Totally.
I think that I would like to make one comment about the Sixes. While we love the Sixes here, I think that all of my representative players and HPP players actually prefers the tens game still. So while we like the Sixes, I think that they hope that they keep both styles of the game, and it doesn't end up evolving into just Sixes. I don't know if that needs to be said or whatever, but it is something that keeps coming up here, because we keep asking them lots of questions. And that's a big feedback, is that they love the Sixes, but they also love the strategy of the Tens.
The traditional game, yeah. Yeah, no, it's an important point to be made. I think that to me, those things happen in sequence, right? Like, right now, I think that the main priority for World Lacrosse specifically, and then the sport more broadly, is increasing the credibility of the Sixes format. And doing so requires touting its attributes, its positive attributes. And so I think, yeah, will probably come a time when defending the larger traditional format becomes a bigger priority. But right now, the way I see it, at least, you know, it's helpful, right, to understand that everybody from multiple perspectives feels that way. But I wouldn't assume that there's any jeopardy around kind of the full-sided format. So helpful for sure, and certainly something to keep in mind. Excellent. Anything else? Parting shots?
Just one thing. We've got a U19 men's team that was supposed to go to Limerick.
Yep.
It's now become U20, and that has been difficult for us to keep, young university men is a lot like herding cats.
Yeah.
It's been for me, probably the most difficult thing is to keep them motivated without any competition.
Yep.
And the discipline level is higher here, but it's still a struggle. They're young men, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. They're getting pulled in all different types of directions. So I think, that's been a real struggle for us here in Hong Kong. And these guys are the future for our MRT, like our men's rep team. So we have to keep them involved. We've got to keep them, you know, motivated one way or the other.
Totally.
So that's been probably the biggest struggle since I got here, was that one specific group.
That's not the most exciting place to end, but certainly very important to acknowledge the challenges that go alongside both the opportunities and growth that's occurred. So we really appreciate you guys taking the time to join us on the Inside Lacrosse podcast, and can't wait to see how the Spring Sixes series unfolds.